Good morning. Today's scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong."
Well, good morning. So glad that you came this morning. I know that it's supposed to be a beautiful day and there would be an attraction not to be here. And I hope that that attraction not to be here is getting less and less as we continue to gather in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and praise him. Who alone is worthy of our praise? You may not know it, because I didn't make it very clear, but we are going through a short series entitled Courageous Living in a Chaotic World. And it started off in looking at Luke chapter 5 when Jesus instructed Peter to cast out the nets. And we called that launching out into the deep, in which we are confronted with doing that which Christ asks or commands us to do, even amidst times of personal challenge and in uncomfort settings. The following week, we took a bit of a break and we changed gears because it was Valentine's Day. But last week, we were back on task and looking at Caleb's request to give me this mountain. There we were challenged to watch and to pray for opportunities to share the gospel. I was humbled, yet very blessed to see your response. And this morning we're looking at an apparent paradox entitled Conquest in Calamity. I expect most of us are familiar with the figures of speech that combine opposite or contradictory ideas and have been merged together, and that they are often called oxymorons. Probably the most familiar one is jumbo shrimp. But let me share some others with you. Found missing. Genuine imitation. Almost exactly. A small crowd. Childproof. Now then. Clearly misunderstood. Temporary tax increase. Plastic glasses. Tight slacks. And Microsoft works. Well, there is another potentially confusing play on words that are called paradox, which are statements that seem contradictory but may very well be true. Some examples of these might be, you can save money by spending it, or I'm nobody. George Bernard Shaw was quoted in saying, "What a pity that youth is wasted on the young." And Oscar Wilde quoted by saying, "I can resist anything but temptation." If you didn't get this message, call me. Deep down, you're really shallow. It's interesting that Jesus used paradoxes several times as he taught. The first will be last. A leader is a servant of all. He who dies to self will live. Even in the light of what has happened in the Lewis family this week, in the midst of grief, there is comfort. Dare I say, joy, as Alva is safely home. But I think the most profound paradox is found in the observation of communion when we are told, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I use this by way of introduction as we are looking today at a paradox. God's strength made perfect in weakness, or conquest in calamity. Our text finds a great man of God, the Apostle Paul, in a deep struggle. Hardship and disappointment all but have overwhelmed him. For a while, even his prayers seemed to bring only frustration. But through prayer and self-surrender, he came to the place where he was glad to suffer. If that meant that the power of Christ would be wondrously evident and used in him to God's glory. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are far greater, and often we don't understand. But we find great comfort to realize that we are in your hands. And even mid times of challenge and uncertainty and suffering and pain, Lord God, we can turn to you. We can seek you. We can cast our care upon you. We know that you continue to love us. You are a good, you are a wonderful Father, and yet one that we don't always understand. And so we are able to trust you as we are in the palm of your hand. Lord God, may our time together this morning in your word be of benefit as we face or endure those uncertainties and challenging situations. Meet us, we ask. In your Son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Conquest in calamity occurs when a suffering person experiences God's all-sufficient grace. Let me begin by saying, what an amazing discovery to experience God's grace to be sufficient for our sins. For anyone who knows and receives Jesus Christ, he must understand that he is totally unworthy. There is nothing that he can do to make himself deserving. His sins disqualify him from having or earning that wonderful relationship that which he was created for. As a sinner, a person loves darkness rather than light, and he is drawn into sin by his own nature, by his own desires, by his own lusts. There is none who is good enough without God's grace. People are self-righteous. We're prejudiced. We're irritable. We're cutting. We're unkind. We're dishonest. We're greedy. We're hateful. We're selfish. We're lustful. Paul had long since known that this was the kind of man that he was. Without God's grace. In fact, he calls himself the chief of sinners. And then Paul came to know that only God's grace was sufficient to lift him out of his weakness and his sin. What an amazing paradox in that itself, to recognize that we must come to realize that we are a sinner before we can receive salvation. As we come to Christ, understanding that he is sovereign, that he is love, We learn in faith to trust his grace, to be sufficient for our troubles, our challenges, our uncertainties. Paul found himself struggling. We do not know for certain what his thorn in the flesh was, but we know that it was an affliction that was very humiliating and agonizing, incurable, and so terrible that he describes it as a messenger from Satan. In anguish, Paul sought the Lord on three different occasions, earnestly begging that this affliction be removed from him. When God's answer came, it did not come in the form of deliverance from the suffering, but in a promise of sustaining grace and a statement of divine purpose. Paul was assured that divine power would be made manifest in his time of human need. The reply came in such a way that Paul knew that this pain would not be taken away. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I wish I could say this following statement stronger than this, but Paul experienced God's grace to be sufficient for his trouble. There's a boatload of stuff in that. Paul experienced God's grace to be sufficient in his trouble. When we ask God to answer our prayer, and he doesn't answer it the way that we want, we are not a happy people. I may have used my good friend John Northey in previous illustrations, and so if I have, please be patient with me here. I met John at Bible school. He, when I met him, was totally deaf, with no chance of even ever hearing again in this life. Yet he had grown up in a hearing world. He went deaf as a young man, the result of having spinal meningitis. So he knew that his deafness, he knew what his deafness was costing him. He had some idea of what he was missing, living as a deaf man in a hearing world. Yet being deaf as an adult, he had much to learn about living as a deaf man. But his deafness did open doors. Maybe one of the most profound was deaf people are very suspicious of the hearing world, thinking that they are conspiring against them. Through his deafness, John entered this world and was given many opportunities to share the love of Christ with them. I have heard John say, "Thank you to God for his deafness, for the opportunity that that has given to him to share with a people that is largely avoided." And praise the Lord, John continues to serve the Lord as he has been pastoring a deaf church in Peterborough for some 30 years. Conquest in calamity occurs when a suffering person experiences God's all-sufficient grace. But also, conquest in calamity occurs when a suffering person allows God's strength to be made perfect in him. God's strength is made perfect as we yield, as we trust, as we seek him. Even though he may not be giving what we would wish or our choice. This weekend is a big weekend in the Kennedy family. And though I cannot overstate the joy of knowing that all our children have responded to the gospel of salvation, have invited Jesus into their life, and are seeking to follow him, it does affect our lives and our dreams. The reason why Sue isn't here this morning is because she's in St. Catharines, supporting Mike and Cindy as they are being commissioned by their home church to leave for Cambodia on Tuesday. I know that several of you here have faced that same situation with your children as you have seen them go overseas to be career missionaries for the Lord. There's the Montgomerys, the Campbells, the Sparlings, and soon to be the Schmidts. This weekend is also significant to us in that our youngest son, Adam and Jess, with our newest grandson, is presently in Alberta, candidating in a church there. And I know that that's not a given thing, but man, that's a long ways away. There is no place I would rather be or to have my children be than in the center of God's will. But that doesn't guarantee a smooth and comfortable ride or not facing challenges or hardships. Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he earnestly prayed to God that it would be removed. And the first and the second sessions of prayer brought no answer. As he persisted at the throne of grace, and he did not stop until he received the desire of God. But when Paul's answer came, he stopped asking. He didn't continue to ask until he got the answer he was looking for, but when the answer was received, he quit asking. If we are to find God's strength made perfect in our lives, we must continue in prayer. The scriptures indicate that those who seek, find. Those who ask, it will be given. Those who knock, it will be opened. Jesus indicates that those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness will be filled. God's strength is made perfect through accepting his answer. God's answer may be revealed positively and immediately. When Peter was walking out to Jesus to meet him on the water, and he sank and he cried out, "Help me," Jesus was right there, and he lent his hand and lifted him back on top of the water, and they entered again into the boat. Jesus' answer was immediate to Peter's request. Sometimes God responds to our prayers immediately, giving us the request of our heart. There are even some times when he has already sent the answer to our prayer before we even know what the situation is, before we've even been confronted with the challenge, before we've even offered up our prayer. But there are other times when God's answer is revealed negatively or slowly. Paul's answer from God did not come until he had made this entreaty three times. There will be times when God, in his wisdom, will see that it is best for us to come to him many times with the same prayer request. He has asked us to come and to keep coming to the throne of grace until he gives his answer. And this may be the hardest part. When the answer comes, he expects us to be satisfied with his wisdom. You see, when we are seeking the Lord and the answer comes, we are not reserving the privilege to decide whether we want to accept it or not. And yet I wonder if many of us are guilty of that. We want God's insight, direction, but we want to reserve the right to make the final decision. The answer Paul received was clearly negative, that he would not be delivered from his affliction. But wait, was it really negative? For God assured Paul that his divine power would be magnified on the occasion of his suffering. How can that be negative? God's strength is made perfect through gladly accepting one's weakness. When Paul realized that God's power shows up in human weakness, he triumphantly cried, "I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." This extreme commitment of Paul's was no casual commitment. We see it evidenced in his life when he and Silas, after being cruelly beaten, thrown into a Philippian jail, and locked into stocks, there they began singing praises to God, for he counted them worthy to suffer for his sake. Talk about a paradox. They glorified in their suffering for Christ's sake. It is not surprising what follows. Their praises to God was a very unique experience as the prison doors swung open, the chains fell off, and yet no one left. What a surprise that must have been, that no one left. And I kind of got thinking, why wouldn't have there been a stampede to the doors? This was such an amazingly unique situation. I wonder, and this is purely Mark Kennedy's imagination, I wonder if those prisoners wanted to hang around to find out what was going to happen next. And what happened? The jailer and his whole family came to receive Jesus Christ, to be a Christ follower. And then I got thinking about that a little bit more, and I wonder what changes took place in the jail after that. Now, that's not the focus of Acts, and so it doesn't go on to explain and tell us any about that. But I wonder. And while he was in prison in Rome, Paul wrote to the Philippian church saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice." Now appreciate that Paul is in jail again, this time in Rome. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Paul's life demonstrated this willingness to accept the way things are as he was in God's will. Paul's life continually demonstrated how God's strength was made perfect in human weaknesses and suffering. Because it was in that same jail cell, he wrote, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Now, it's interesting that most of us could repeat that last line. I can do everything through him who gives us strength. But do we recognize the context? Everything wasn't going great when Paul said that. God's son knew the disappointment of desertion, the heartbreak of betrayal, the blasphemy of unlawful trials, the wounds of a whipping whip, the mockery of a crown of thorns, the cursings of ridiculing tongues, the shame of a naked death, the agony of being nailed to a cross, the punishment of taking upon himself the sin of mankind. He anticipated this in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he cried, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." In our pain, in our sorrow, in our heartache, disappointment, grief, poverty, trouble, and limitations, can we pray, "Your will be done"? Occasionally in life, we meet those people that have an incurable disease, a twisted body caused by profound suffering, or troubles that we can only imagine. Yet, we see in them a consistent, radiant, and selfless life, being lived by faith and even praise to Jesus Christ. This is the conquest in calamity. And folks, this is noticed by the world to the glory of God. May we be found faithful. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that it has been a very sober look at your word this morning. As we are called to be your children, we cannot anticipate, because of what we see in the scriptures, that life will be a rose garden. There will be challenges, not just challenges because of life, but challenges because we are followers of you. Lord God, we pray that we might live faithful and obedient lives, that we might be found pleasing in your sight. Lord God, that your power may be evident in our weakness. And by that, may you be glorified, and may the world take notice, not of us, but of our faith in you, of our confidence in you, of indeed our joy and our delight in you. You are our strength. You are our peace. You are our joy. Lord God, may we continue to celebrate that, even amidst times of challenge and uncertainty. To your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.